Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one present, especially the visitors. Trust you'll feel at home with us here this morning and be able to worship God in God's house. I'm happy to announce the new birth of two young men, Elliot Martin and Riley Weaver. Both have recently given their hearts to the Lord. Brother James and I have visited with them and feel that they are sincere in their beginning in their Christian walk. We're going to ask them to share their testimony this morning. Elliot. Thank you. God bless you. Riley. God bless you. Thank you for sharing. Let's keep these two young men in our prayers. For a message this morning, you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. In the gospel, as you know, there are a number of parables that Jesus gave, and we're going to look at one of them this morning. Maybe before we do that, we'll just talk about a parable a little bit. What is a parable? Why did Jesus speak in parables? A parable is a figure of speech in which truth is illustrated by a comparison or example drawn from everyday experiences. Another definition, a parable is an extended metaphor or simile using figurative language in the form of a story to illustrate truth. A simpler definition, which is also very true, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The title of my message this morning is The Barren Fig Tree. We're going to read Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Luke chapter 13, and verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then the parable in verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I realize that when we look at parables and metaphors, sometimes there is more than one meaning. And perhaps you'll have something to add to my interpretation of this passage, but I'm going to endeavor to explain it the way I understand it. I believe that the metaphors in the story are a certain man. He represents someone. I believe that another metaphor is the vineyard. It represents something other than a vineyard. A third one is the fig tree, a dresser. A fig tree's barrenness is also symbolic of something else. And 3 years. The certain man, I believe, is God the Father himself. The vineyard is the church of Jesus Christ in all ages, from the time when Jesus was here upon the earth all the way to today. The church of Jesus Christ is the vineyard. The dresser, or we would call him today maybe the caretaker or the gardener, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fig tree's barrenness. Sorry, I missed one. I'll back up. A fig tree in this passage, I believe, is a professor of Jesus. Someone who professes to be a Christian. Someone who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The professor of Jesus. And the fig tree's barrenness, I believe, is symbolic of a professor that is barren, or a professor that is fruitless. And the 3 years in this parable, I believe, are symbolic of the patience of God. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. God had a soul planted in his church. And it came about that it was a barren one. Very quickly we see that. He had a fig tree, and he came. The passage tells us he came looking for fruit, and there was none. I believe this passage illustrates to us the fact that from the time of Jesus, and even from the time of the Old Testament passages, which we'll look at some of those Old Testament passages later, from all the way from creation to today, there is one established fact. There are barren fig trees in God's church. There always was, and there always will be. It's not a new thing to have fruitless professors. It's not a new thing to have fruitless church members. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and it was fruitless. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 2. I'll read verse 1 and 2. Jesus speaking again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Here he speaks of branches instead of fig trees. But the semblance is the same. He's looking for fruit. If he doesn't find any fruit on the branch, he takes it away. Hosea 10, verse 1 says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. He is without fruit to God. He is a barren fig tree. The story of the 10 virgins in the New Testament. You know, there were 10 virgins, and there were 5 that were wise, and there were 5 that were foolish. And the 5 that were foolish went with the others. The 5 that were foolish had lamps. The 5 that were foolish had light. And the 5 that were foolish awakened with the others. And the 5 that were foolish went forth to meet the bridegroom. But the 5 that were foolish were barren fig trees. They were fruitless professors. Even in Jesus' 12 chosen disciples, there was a barren fig tree. The 12 men that he chose to walk by him daily as he went through life, there was Judas, the barren fig tree. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus speaking of a future time here, but notice the present tense here as well in talking about the future. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These who were claiming a profession with God in these verses are barren fig trees. Jude 3 and 4 talks about certain men crept in unawares. He's talking about them creeping into the church. They crept in unawares. They're barren fig trees and fruitless professors. It's not a new thing. There has always been fig trees in God's church, and there has always been barren fig trees, and there always will be. Coming back to our text again. Turn back there. You got away from it, so turn back. Luke chapter 13. Next part of verse 6. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. In the natural world, we understand. None of us have fig trees at home, but all of us have something at home that we're trying to grow. Maybe it's vegetables, maybe it's a fruit tree, whatever it is that you're trying to grow. You understand in the natural world. Picture yourself being the dresser or the owner of this fig tree. Picture yourself going to your garden or your orchard. And you've spent a lot of time with this tree or this plant. And it has come up and it's beautiful. And you say, I think it's going to be a good year for that apple tree. it sure looks like it's going to bear fruit. And you know what time of year the apples come. When you go out and you take a walk by that tree and you look at it and you don't see any blossoms and you don't see any fruit. You just see that green tree day after day. And unless you know the reason for that and can come up with a good reason as a dresser, you start to get angry with that tree. Yes, you do. You say, well, I've spent a lot of time here. I've labored a lot of time. Here it is, beautiful, but there's no fruits. The lesson is a spiritual one. The vineyard is the church of Jesus Christ. The fig trees are you and I as professing Christians. The fig trees are the church members. And we've been planted in the church of Jesus Christ if we're a member of His church today. We've been planted in His church, and God in heaven is looking for good fruit. He's coming down and walking among the children of men, and He's looking. He's looking for good fruit. He's looking for godliness. He's looking for repentance. He's looking for humility. He's looking for contentment. He's looking for truth. He's looking for faith. He's looking for obedience. And in the story of the barren fig tree, He looks for all of those things and He doesn't find them. He looks for gentleness. He looks for confession of sin. He looks for good works. He looks for the fruit of evangelism, and He doesn't find them. He doesn't find that fruit there. Turn with me to Proverbs 24. We'll come back to Luke 13, so if you want to keep your finger there, that would be wise. But turn with me to Proverbs 24. We get an opposite here. Sometimes opposites help us to get a picture in our minds. Solomon gives us an opposite. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. He talks about a field and a vineyard here too. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And again, I believe that this picture that Solomon portrays to us could certainly be spiritualized and could certainly be an opposite of what God is looking for. Instead of finding fruit, He finds thorns and nettles. He finds the stone wall, which is there for protection to keep things out of the vineyard that may harm the vineyard. He finds that wall broken down. He finds people asleep. He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. The question is not this morning, what do you think of yourself? That's not the question. The question this morning is not, what do the people of God think of you? While that is a valid question and one at times we should be concerned with, that is not the question of this morning. The question is not, what do the people of God think of you? The question is rather, what will God find when He comes and searches among your branches? What kind of fruit will He find there? Moving on in the passage, we have a discussion between the dresser of the vineyard in verse 7. Which I believe is a discussion between God and Jesus. I think we can look at it that way. In the natural world, it would be a discussion between the man who owned the vineyard and the man who the owner had hired to take care of it. And the discussion goes like this. The owner, God, says, "These 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 6. Jeremiah speaking, God speaking here through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15 verse 6, he's speaking to his people, Israel. He says, "Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting." I think we see that in this passage in Luke 13, when he says, "I've come 3 years. Not just 1 year, not just the first year that I came, and I expected to find fruit and there was none, but the first year has gone by, and the second year has gone by, and now we're at the third year, and there still isn't any fruit. God's forbearance is abused. He is weary." God spoke elsewhere in the Old Testament about the children of Israel. He said, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Precept hath been upon precept, and line upon line, 1 year after another, for these 3 years. But no fruit can be seen. I find none. Fetch the axe. Cut it down. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. Here we have about the axe and trees again. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Cut it down, he said. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down. But now we have the other person speaking. In the natural sense, this would be the dresser of the garden. But in the spiritual sense, I believe it is Jesus himself. "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone. This year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." You know, in the natural sense, the fig tree that was planted there and had been there for years, that good-looking tree, to the dresser of the garden, looking on, he could say, "But God, it's a fig tree, God. It's not a thorn bush. If it was a thorn bush, yeah, I'd throw it away. No problem. I'd dig it up real quick. It's not a bramble. It's not a thistle. God, it's a fig tree. Don't cut it down." Turn to Ezekiel chapter 15. Ezekiel chapter 15. I found this passage in relation to this study. And I see it as a very interesting, fitting passage right here. I'd like to read Ezekiel chapter 15. It's a short chapter, only 8 verses. Note as we read, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God." God is saying, what is a vine good for? He's talking about a grapevine, I think, in this passage, and not a fig tree. But what is a vine good for? Well, it's just not good for much else other than giving us grapes. You can go cut it up if you like and try to burn it for firewood, and it'll burn. And you can go cut the logs out of it and put them through your sawmill and try to find some good lumber there, but you won't find it. It's a vine. It was made to produce grapes. And if it doesn't produce grapes, then it is worthless. And it might as well be put into the fire and burned. Why cumbereth it the ground? God wants fruit from us just like a man wants fruit from his orchard or his garden. God wants fruit from us. Why cumber the ground? That word cumber is not as familiar to us today, perhaps. Why cumber the ground? Why would the orchard man get angry at that tree after so many years and he finally said, well, I will dig it up? Well, because it's taking moisture out of the orchard from the tree beside it that's producing fruit. And it's taking nutrients out of the ground from the other trees around it, and it's taking up space where he could tear it out and plant another tree that would bear fruit. And so it cumbereth the ground. It's in the road. It's drawing away the heart and nourishment from other trees. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And verse 24. I'm breaking in the middle, but you know the story well. And the last part of the story fits well here. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, and unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Moving on in our passage in Luke chapter 13. Lord, let it alone this year also. Lord, let it alone. Do you hear the striving between the vine dresser and the husbandman for your life? Cut it down, says one. Lord, spare it, says the other. It cumbers the ground, says the father. 1 year longer, begs the son. Oh, the mercy of God on indifferent humanity. One more year. And he says what he will do. Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And it's apparent at the end of the story, the end of the parable, that the dresser of the vineyard got his way. He was given one more year to work with this tree, this fig tree. He was given one more year to dig around it, fertilize it. I don't know how much you know about plants, and maybe not all plants are this way, but many of the plants that live year after year are embedded by loosening their roots. You know how it is sometimes with perennials in your flower bed, sometimes they get big, and if you dig them out and put them in another place and maybe even divide them depending what they are, they flourish and they do so much better in the coming year. And that's what he's going to do. I don't know how fig trees were, but the loosening of the soil around the roots, the nutrients given that it needed, more attention given to that tree than any other tree in the vineyard for a year. And the dresser did agree, though. He said, if after a year, if you come here next year and there's no fruit, then you can cut it down. And you can take your axe and cut it down. And I'll start over with another tree. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Oh, the mercy of God in his scriptures and his long-suffering toward man, his long-suffering toward you and I with our indifference about bearing fruit. Where are you and I this morning in this stage of this fig tree? Are you a fig tree that God can come down and look at and he says, there's fruit there, good fruit, I love that tree? Are you a fig tree that looks beautiful and you're young? And you're in your first year. And God comes down. And he just doesn't see much fruit there. Are you in your second year? Are you in your third? Or are you in your fourth? And you've been told that this is the last year. And Jesus is working in your life to produce fruit. He doesn't want the axe to come out. Where are you and I this morning with fruit bearing? What does God say when he walks down and walks by your life and inspects your fruit? Shall we kneel for prayer? Our holy, righteous Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your patience with us as faltering men and women. We thank you for your patience in allowing us to live another year, being given another opportunity to bear fruit. May we not resist the working of your Son and the working of the Holy Spirit in digging up the ground around our lives and in turning us, endeavoring to get us to produce fruit. Thank you for the children in our midst, the blessing that they are to us this morning. We pray that you would continue to bless them. We thank you for our young people. We thank you for Elliot and Riley and their commitment to serve you and to turn their lives over to you. Thank you for their careful attention to the calling of your Spirit. May you bless them. We pray for our young people. We thank you for them and their dedication to serve you. May you help them to overcome the wicked one. And we thank you for each of us as adults. The fig trees that should be bearing fruit. The fig trees that should be examples to the younger. May we rise to the challenge of bearing fruit for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.